thanks, and you may be seated. This past week, I was out of town most of the time, Monday through Friday, out in Dallas, Texas, for a conference. It's called Mosaics. It's an organization, non-denominational evangelical nomination, that explores and seeks to be multi-ethnic in the way it does ministry and worship. It was a very thrilling and exciting place to be a part of last week, and I'm sure I'll have many things to share over that week, but it is good to be back home. I will tell you that I prepared for the weather by looking, you know, weather.com or whatever, and it said it was going to be in the 60s and the 70s, and I got out there and immediately went down into the 40s and rain. So I've been cold all week, and understand I'm going to continue to be cold as we get into this week. I'm ready for some cold weather. It's time. So anyway, we want to look this morning at a psalm, Psalm 89, and particularly looking at verses 5 through 15. So hear this word. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the counsel of the Holy One, God is greatly feared. God is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea when its waves mount up. You still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain with your strong arm, and you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy in your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. And this is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so there's an old story of this man who was a farmer, raised a lot of livestock on his farm. And so one day he came running into the farmhouse, and he was so excited. He was shouting, he was saying, "Praise the Lord, praise God." He went to his wife and his children and said, "The Lord has blessed us abundantly because our prize cow, the very best cow that we have, the one that has won all the blue ribbons, that amazing cow has given birth. And she hasn't given birth to just one calf, but she has given birth to two calves, one with red spots and one with black spots. It's a beautiful thing. God has blessed us so much. You know, all of our troubles are over because we are going to raise these two cows. And when the time comes, we're going to sell them. And we'll sell one of those cows, and we will be able to pay off the mortgage. Our farm will be completely out of debt. God has blessed us so much. And because God has blessed us so much, we're going to take that other cow, and we are going to sell it. And we're going to use the proceeds and give all of it back to God for blessing us so abundantly. Praise be to God. One is our calf. One is the Lord's calf." And so the wife asked a logical question. She said, "Well, which one is which? Which one's the Lord's and which one is ours?" And he says, "It doesn't matter. We're just going to raise them side by side, just alike. We're going to feed them the same way. And when the time comes, we'll know." And so one day, he came into the farmhouse, and he was very sad and distraught. And he says, "I have some awful news. It's terrible news. The Lord's calf has died." And his wife said, "I thought you didn't decide which one was which." And he says, "Oh, no, I knew a long time ago that red and white calf, that was the Lord's. And the Lord's calf sadly has died." And so that's kind of a cute story, maybe you've heard it before. It's one of those old stories that preachers tell. But here's something about this story, and this where I want to begin, is that it actually, it's a cute story, and it can make a point that sometimes we kind of give what's left over to God, right? You know, we try to get, you know, what's we think's coming our way, and if we got anything left over, then God gets it. And so, you know, that's bad, but this, the theology that's presented in this little story, I think leads us in a wrong way into a wrong place. And so this morning, as we enter into a time of stewardship here in our church for this week and next week, you know, in the past we've done an entire month. You know, we've done 3 weeks, but this year we're just going to do 2 weeks. And here's part of the reason is because as I have been here now for these years, I've discovered that there are so many, many mature disciples, particularly when it comes to giving in our church. There are many of you that I have learned from as I've watched your faith and witness. I remember a few years ago when we were in some difficult financial place that you know, there were some of you who was going like, you know, don't lose faith. Don't stress out. God's in control. God's got this. And so I know that there are many mature folks, many mature givers in this church. And so I don't know that we need 3 or 4 weeks in this, but I think all of us need to review and be reminded at least once a year of some sort of basics of stewardship, because it is, after all, a real critical part of our discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have kind of a stewardship 101 here this morning, and then next week we'll continue with some stuff about gratitude and Thanksgiving next week, and we'll have our Pledge Sunday, Commitment Sunday, Estimate of Giving Card Sunday, whatever you want to call it. We're going to celebrate and do that next Sunday, and I know that you will be faithful because you have been so faithful in your giving and your serving. But to start right on the top with Stewardship 101, and just kind of looking at that story with the man who thought the Lord's calf had died, the first place that we need to be aware is that when it comes to stewardship, God is the owner and we are the manager or the steward. The psalm that I just read to you from Psalm 89, it reminds us that the heavens are yours. And yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. God is the owner of it all the good things God has created. It says, you created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon, sing for your joy at your name. Tabor and Hermon, sing. What does that mean? Well, you know the song, This Land is Your Land? What does it say? From the New York Islands to the Redwood Forest, you know, from the east to the west. So, Tabor is in the east and Hermon's in the south west, so it's, you know, from the east to the west. And so it's these people in antiquity would heard this, that it would have been all that they knew of the world. God owned it all. And so that's the understanding for us to begin with, that God is the owner and we are the manager, or you might say steward. You know, steward's not a word we use a lot in our contemporary language, but we understand that stewardship, you know, that's just, you know, that God's given us blessings. God is giving us out of his abundance. And, you know, it's not that we own it and we have all this stuff and then we give to God sometimes out of our own charity. God is one of the charities we give to. No, God has given us all the blessings and then we give back to God in the abundance. Everything that we have is his already. And so we may give to some charities and nonprofits, but, you know, that's because God has directed us, and it's because we are being stewards or managers of what God has blessed us with already. Here's the problem with that little story, and here's the problem, you know, if we believe that we are the owner, then we are constantly going to be in conflict with God over what we do with the things that we have. Oh, no, the Lord's calf has died. You know, that's when we had that attitude. And so we as we begin to see God as the owner and we as the manager, then that conflict goes away and we're able to live freely as his followers, as his discipleships. The word stewardship actually comes from the Greek word oikonomia, oikonomia, which refers to someone who manages a household. And it's the root of that word, and you can see that pretty clearly, is our word for economy. You know, we always talking about the economy. Is it a good economy or a bad economy? But what we're talking about here is God's economy. God's economy, where God is the owner and we are the manager. As we live into the kingdom of God, as we lean into that and try to serve and follow within that, we follow that sort of economy. Now, if you woke up one morning and you were not feeling well, something was wrong. And like when you get to be my age and older, you know, there's lots of mornings you don't feel the best, right? Part of that just comes with age. But there's times when you know something's wrong, something's not right, I need to go to my doctor. And so let's say that happens to you. You go to your doctor, and then maybe he gives you some kind of typical tests that he would do in a physical. He may take your blood pressure, may do some blood work, may take your, temperature and that sort of things. But at some point, he's going to sit you down, and he's going to ask you a litany of questions. And he might ask you, okay, well, how have you been sleeping? How have you been resting? Have you been getting enough sleep? Is there something that's happened in your life that's causing stress, more stress than normal? What have you been eating? Have you been eating a balanced diet? Have you been doing those things? And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that when the doctor starts asking you those things, you say, now, whoa. Doc, those are personal questions. Those are personal questions. You deal with the physical. That's fine. Take my blood pressure. That's the physical stuff. But those are personal questions you're asking me now. Now, you wouldn't do that, right? Because you want to get well. You want to get whole. So you want to get to the bottom of it. And so you open your life and yourself. And so sometimes, never here, but sometimes when it comes to this time of year and when it comes to sermons like this, people go, oh my gosh, they're talking about money again. You know, the preacher, they're always talking about money. And that's just a personal thing, you know. It's a personal thing, and I don't like it when they talk about money in church. They shouldn't talk about money in church, you know, because it's a personal thing. And so, you know, what people who are mature followers will tell you is, you know, when you read the gospel, you see that Jesus talked about money more than he talked about any other subject except for the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? You know, why did Jesus get so personal? Well, Jesus knew, you know, what I've discovered as well is that when you get your finances in order, when you're able to get that part of your life in order, somehow or another, the other parts also align themselves. Not that you're going to have a perfect life, not that you're never going to have any problems, because life is filled with good and bad. But when it comes to taking those steps on the path of discipleship, something about getting the first fruits to God, getting your life, that part in order, makes the other things fall in line as well. I mean, Teresa and I think both will witness to that in our lives. Not that we do it perfectly. We don't. But when we do, when we get that part right, we find that the rest of our life, you know, seems to go, you know, go the way it should as well. You know, we have more contentment. We have more joy. We have more spiritual wholeness and health. Because God desires for us to be spiritually whole. The word for salvation in the New Testament, early on, it was translated as health. Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, in what Christ died to bring us. We now mostly translate it salvation. In the earliest translations, it was translated health. And that wholeness of God, and part of that diligence, it comes with understanding that stewardship is about all of our lives, not just about our money, but when we get that steward right and understanding that God is the owner, we are the managers and stewards, it begins to fall in line. Now, consider this. The basic form of stewardship is daily work. In our church, we have an abundance, and we've been so blessed with a lot of retired people, right? We have a lot of people at that stage in their life. Now, I am hoping for it one day myself. But what I've learned from retired people is that you don't quit working when you're retired, right? And when you're working for the kingdom of God, there is no retirement. You continue to find your place, your role, your gifts, your grace, your talents. How that all lies, because work and our stewardship of work is the basic form of stewardship. Is how we live out our life in our witness. Consider the creation story, Genesis 1 and 2. Okay? You know, it wasn't that like after the fall that work entered into the picture. Part of God's perfect created order before the fall was work. God himself worked. You know, he created the heavens and the earth and separated the nights and from the darkness and the dry land and the oceans and each time after each day he said that it was good. It was good. And then on the seventh day he rested. There's getting our lives aligned with God, finding the work that we are called to do. The Lord then took men and women and he placed them in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it, to be stewards of that, to find their work within that. And so that is part of the created order, is to discover our work, what God has called us to do. Now, within that, Corinthians tells us that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so as God is creating and recreating and working within us, is to find what it is that we are uniquely called and asked to do. So, not every one of us is called to serve in the exact same way at the exact same time. If everybody in the church were an acolyte, first of all, we wouldn't have enough acolyte outfits for them. And, you know, it just would not be the picture of the church. You know, there's different places, different ways in which we serve. I know we would like some more people in the choir, but some people are called to serve by singing, some to be the ushers, and some to be the greeters, and some to be, to look at the church finances, and some to serve in other ways. That all of that working together, many, many different kinds of gifts, because we're many different kinds of people, all coming together to bring about God's kingdom, to bring and work in God's service. It's the way that God works with us. Likewise, we're not all called to give alike. Now, in our church, we have an abundance of teachers, of educators. And I actually happen to be married to one. And there's one thing I know about you teachers and you retired teachers is you don't make a lot of money. Yeah. And so, but we're not all called to give the same. We're just to be faithful with what God has blessed us and given us with, because that's a calling within itself. And so what we're, what has been given to each doesn't make you any better or worse. It is just different, because it's the different gifts and the different blessings that God has put within us. Some of you are great at making money, and you may be called to give a different kind of amount, but it's all of us. It's not, they're differing gifts and differing amounts, but it's all, equal sacrifice, equal love and grace as we do that. And all of it working together as a whole comes together to bless and to be our work within this church and community. And so next week, I'm going to say a few things about it. We come to what we have referred to over the years as Celebration Sunday or Stewardship Sunday, Consecration Sunday, we've called it before. And it's a time of year that, as part of that worship service, we will bring our cards down to the altar. That'll be an act of worship that day. It's kind of like bringing in the harvest. And so have in your bulletin today, and there's been some around, I think they were in actually last week, a card, estimate of giving card, a pledge card, whatever you want to call it, we call it different things. Several years ago, there was a sort of this move, I think, to call it an estimate of giving card, because pledge cards sounded scary. And so we started calling them estimate of giving cards. And here's part of that philosophy is that, let's say that you pledge a certain amount, estimate giving a certain amount, and the next year something happens in the middle of the year and you have a huge windfall and you've just received this huge check that you weren't expecting. You know what? You can change your pledge. You can change your estimate of giving. That's the point, because we are, you know, that's part of our discipleship, is to be able to honor and bless God in that way. Likewise, maybe something happens next year in the middle of the year that you don't see coming. You lose some income that you thought you had. You lost your job, or maybe you had a huge medical expense or something. In the same way, you know, it is a flexible kind of a dynamic kind of number. But it's just that we are all moving towards faithful giving and faithful stewardship with it. And so that's next week. There's a letter also that's in your bulletin, and that I try to write a letter every year. And one of the things that I mentioned in this letter is just the way that I've been taught by so many of you and your faithfulness and your giving. This church is incredibly generous. And so I don't want to ever be encountered in this way, but I don't want to ever want to be one of those preachers that's sort of like beating you up about money or making you feel guilty. But I do want to talk about the seriousness of serving and following after God that comes with giving of our financial gifts. So I have learned more than any other place I think I've ever served from you all with your faithfulness and giving. So I don't feel like you need a lot of arm twisting and urging. But if we all just continue to do what God has called us to do and to be growing in the direction of, you know, being a more faithfully committed disciple of Jesus Christ, then I believe that God is going to work out our future together. And so next week here in the service, we will have the pledge cards again. You can take these home and prayerfully consider and think about it. Next week we'll also have envelopes to put them in, because they are, you know, we do want to keep that as a private matter. There's only a couple of people that know what you give. Amy Watts, our financial secretary, does know. I do know. I feel like it's a pastoral issue at times. You know, it's not something I study every day and nothing I try to wage everything on, but very, very few people know that what you give. That is a private matter, but it's between you and God as you seek to serve Him and follow Him more deeply. And so I hope that you will prayerfully consider these cards. I'd have someone mention to me, and I want to mention this in here, that we now have a way of giving online. And I will tell you that Teresa and I were the first ones who signed up for this. In our app, there's a way of having it just like you might have your mortgage or your car payment or your, you know, cable bill come out automatically. You can have that come out automatically. It's a really good way of keeping record of it. It's very secure and safe to do it that way. And so that is also available to you. It also helps kind of a more even distribution of throughout the year, so that we know how to plan our cash flow and our budget. As we put together our budget for 2020, you know, those numbers that get pledged, that get put on the estimate of giving card, they're very important, because they help us to know how we're doing and what we can do. And so I hope that you'll use that as a tool for yourself and your own spiritual growth, and let it provide us with a tool of how we can design and put together a sustainable budget for 2020. God has blessed this church in an abundance of ways for many, many years, and I believe that God is at work in a new way with some new initiatives and new creation that is happening here, and it's a blessing to be a part of that this morning. As we come to the end of our worship service, though, this morning, we're going to sing a great hymn of the faith that talks about how we have received freely, and how we are also to give and to serve freely as well. It's freely, freely we've been given in Jesus' name. So if you will, if you'll stand as you are able and join us in this hymn.